Today we will continue with Perek Tetzayin, the 16th chapter of Yeshayah, which, as we mentioned, is a continuation of chapter 15. Chapter 15 began Masa Moav, the prophetic vision about Moav, and in Shiur on chapter 15 I exposed in some depth the historical background and some of the geographic characteristics and political issues surrounding the territory of Moav. If you have not heard that shiur, it would be advisable to do so. The present shiur on chapter 16 will be difficult to follow if you have not previously heard the shiur on chapter 15. So I encourage you to do so. One additional note, the Rashi, which I discussed in the shiur on chapter 15, the Rashi on Perek 15, Pasuk 7, the Rashi which mentioned the Moabite lack of concern for Israelite welfare and lack of gratitude to Avraham Avinu, that Rashi is has its source in Breshit Rabbah, in Parashat Lech Lecha, Parashah 41, and that same Breshit Rabbah Midrash is discussed in greater detail in Rabbi Yosef Kara's commentary on chapter 16, Pasuk 4. So let us begin now with chapter 16, Pasuk 1. Shilchu char Moshel Eretz, Misela Midbara El Har Bat Zion. Send forth a fat sheep, you ruler of the land, from Sela in the desert to the mountain of the daughter of Zion, i.e. to the mountain of Yerushalayim. Send forth this fat sheep from the area around Moab. Sela is one of the Moabite cities. Send forth that tribute in the form of a fat sheep to Jerusalem. Why should tribute flow from Moab at all? Well, the as we mentioned yesterday, in the time of Ahab, the king of Israel, beginning of the 9th or first half of the 9th century BCE, we know that the Moabites brought tribute to the king of Israel in Shomron in the form of sheep. Moav is a territory which has relatively low rainfall, so it's not such a good area for growing agricultural crops, but it is a good, sufficient rainfall for raising sheep and other such pasture animals. Especially sheep don't eat as much as cows do, and so you can raise them in low rainfall areas. But in any case, the idea here is Shilchu char Moshel Eretz. Send forth the tribute to Jerusalem. Why should they do so? Rashi here comments, engages the issue of Mesha bringing tribute to Ahav, and says, do not be so proud of yourselves. Don't you know that you used to be tributaries to Israel, and so too you should today bring tribute to Jerusalem? The Radak, perhaps basing himself on Rashi, expands this farther, and the Radak says, well, in this time there is no longer a king in Shomron. He assumes we're dealing with a period after 720 BCE, when the city of Samaria has not only fallen to Assyria, but has also gone into exile. And so Shomron, northern kingdom of Israel, doesn't exist anymore. 10 tribes have gone into exile, and what's left is Yehuda. So in the absence of a king in Shomron, hayalachem lishloach letzion el melech Yehuda. You should have brought your tribute to Jerusalem, to the king of Yehuda. Then he raises the possibility that Shilchu is a future form. Shilchu is of course a tzivui, and it refers first to the future. It's a command referring to the future. Atash etishafel malchutchem, now that your kingdom is brought low, because it is being destroyed by the king of Assyria and your pride and chiefness is gone. Tishluchu hamas shaitim shalchem mitchilal melech Yisrael, tishluchu atar al har batzion. Now you should send, now that there's no longer a king of Israel, now you should send your tribute to Jerusalem. L'chizkiyah melech Yehuda. Because he is righteous, because he is powerful, and you should submit to him. So does the Targum render. Yehon maske misin limshichad Yisrael. You should bring your tribute to the anointed one of Israel. This seems to be a reference to Chizkiyahu, who at least in potential has the possibility of being Mashiach. And so this perek is a reference to an encouragement to the Moabites to submit to Chizkiyahu. Again, as I mentioned last time, it appears to me to be a reference to the period 705-701 BCE. In 705, all the kingdoms of the region, including Moab and Yehuda, ceased to pay tribute to Assyria. Moab was initially part of this rebellion. Moab quickly switched sides and became and submitted to Assyria, and Yehuda, along with other kingdoms, bore the brunt of the Assyrian attack in 701. So Yeshayahu may now be dealing with that period. Continuing to refer to Moab, he says, Pasuk Bet, V'hayachar of Noded, Ken Meshulach, Tihiena Benot Moab, Ma'abarot La'arnon, like a wandering bird, like a dame, or dam, a mother bird who was sent out, so too will the cities of Moab, daughters here referring to cities, become crossing places for the Arnon, the Wadi Arnon, which is a wadi in the south central part of Moab. So just like a wandering bird, so too will the cities of Moab wander. And where are they wandering to? It is possible that we will see the answer to that in the subsequent psukim. Pasuk Gimel. Havi'i Eitza Asuf Lilia Asuf Lila Shiti Chalil Tzilech B'toch Tzohoraim Satirin Nidachim Noded Al Tegali. So bring counsel, the prophet adjures Moab. Bring counsel. Asuf Lila. Do some sort of judgment. In other words, do something. Shiti Chalayil Tzilech B'toch Tzohoraim. Make the noontime as shady as night. In other words, you need darkness to hide. Why? Satrini dachim noded al tegali. Hide those who run away. Don't uncover those who are wandering away. In other words, there is some sort of destruction in Moab, and Moab needs help to hide those who are escaping that destruction. Where should they run to? Yaguru vach nidachai, Moab. Pasuk Dalet. Yaguru vach nidachai. My captives will dwell in you. Who is you? We'll see in a moment. Moav hevi seter lamo mipnei shoded. Moav serve as shelter for them from the robber. Kiafes hametz kala shod tamu romes min haaretz. The phrase afes hametz is very difficult. I will not translate it. Kala shod, the robbery is done. The trampler, tamu rames min haaretz, the trampler is gone from the land. So it's after some sort of destruction that shelter is needed from those whose cities have been destroyed and who are trying to avoid capture and exile by this trampler. Now the Mefarshim here raised the possibility that this is a reference to the people of Moab needing to take to the people of Moab needing to take refuge, and the people of Moab being urged to take refuge to give refuge to their own people. This is at least the approach that we find in Rabbi Yeshaya Mitrani, one of the medieval Italian commentators, who says, "Omrim bnei Moab zelaze yaguru vach nidachai v'teosofotam shelo yelchu bashviya." Gather your own captives so that you won't go into captivity. Rashi and the Radak, in contrast, see this is a reference to Moab being encouraged to gather up the Israelite captives, the Judean captives, and that is also a possibility that the Judean captives are looking to take refuge in Moab, and Moab is being encouraged by the prophet to give them a place of refuge. That regardless of how we understand Pasuk Tet, Pasuk He does raise the issue of the relationship between Moav and Yehuda. And Pasuk He, which is an extremely famous Pasuk because it's quoted in the Unasanis Tokef Piyut, which we daven every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, reads as follows. V'uchan b'chesed kisei v'yashav alav be'emet be'ohel David. With kindness, or perhaps with covenantal kindness, a throne shall be established. V'huchan b'chesed kisei. V'yashav alav be'emet be'ohel David. And he will dwell upon it truthfully, or stably, in the tent of David. Who shall dwell upon it? Shofet v'doresh mishpat u'mihir tzedek. A judge who demands justice and who is quick to provide righteousness. Umihir tzedek is a slightly difficult phrase, The Radak here is a reason why here lasot maaseh ayosher v'atzedek, who is quick and fast to do acts of justice and straightforwardness. Mehir also seems to refer to a scribe. It's used in Sefer Ezra to refer to Ezra as a sofer mahir, an efficient scribe, a competent scribe. So mehir tzedek, someone who is efficient and competent in judging. This, of course, this pasuk is given enormous significance in many midrashic sources. Among them, we find the Targum here: "Bechein Meshicha di Yisrael yitakan betuv kursohi vitev alohi bikshot bekarted David dayan v'tavadin v'avid kshot." And of course, the Targum here sees this as a reference to Meshicha di Yisrael, the Anointed One of Israel, who will sit upon this throne. And the question arises, what is this doing in a perek that's dealing with Moav? And I think we have to understand this as a reference to this period of 705-701, that despite the fact that Israelites are running away, nevertheless a time will come when the kingship in Jerusalem will be firmly established, and it will fall to Moav to submit to this kingship in Yerushalayim. As opposed to the current time when the Israelites need to find refuge in Moab, perhaps. The Israelites certainly have suffered much more than the Moabites. As opposed to that time, there will become a time when the kingship of Judah, kingship of Yerushalayim, will be firmly established. The prophet goes on, Shamanu geon Moab ge meod, gavato geono ve'evrato, lochen badav. We have heard the pride of Moab being very arrogant, being very proud, being very arrogant. Gavato ugeono ve'evrato, his pride, his pride or his chiefness, his highness, and his anger. Lochen vadav. The Radak here deals with this difficult phrase, lochen vadav. Lo emet kizavav. Dvarav shayam medaber begavato, lo nitkaimu ata, sheba'a lav hara'a. All of these, all this pride and arrogance that Moav is spouting will in fact not come to pass. Rather, destruction will come upon Moav. This is an attempt to deal with the question of how is Moav dwelling securely while Yehuda is in trouble. The Radak seems to understand the word badav here as a reference to the idea of bada, to make up. So all their made up stuff was not true. And that idea of destruction is certainly in evidence in Pasuk Zayin, the next Pasuk, Lechen yeyelil Moav leMoav. Therefore Moav calls out in crying to Moav. Kulo yeyelil, it all calls out. La'ashishekir hareshet te'egu ach nechayim. Very difficult end of phrase. To the foundations, the Radak understands, La'ashishekir hareshet, excuse me, to the foundations of Kir Chareset, one of the cities of Moab, Tegu Ach Nechaim, all the those who remain, those who are Nech'elev, those who are weak of heart or submitted of heart, those who are in difficult straits, will call out. Tegu Lushon Hege, to call out. So the people call out to the foundations of the city. And the continuing verses detail the destruction that comes upon Moav. I will not read them in detail, but Psukim Chet and Tet deal with destruction of grapevines in Moav. The beginning of Pasuk Chet, Kishadmot Cheshbon Umlal, Gefen Sivma Baalei Goyim Halmu Surukeha. The fields of Cheshbon are desolate, the vines of Sivma, Baalei Goyim, the masters of the nations, have smashed their Sorek vines, which is a particularly good type of vine. And then we see similarly in Pasuk Tet, Al Ken Evke Bivchi. Al Ken Evke, therefore I will cry, Bivchi Ya'azer Gefen Sivma. In the crying of Ya'azer, the vines of Sivma, Aryavech dimati, I will fill you, Melashon Rivaya, I will fill you with my crying, Cheshbon ve'el alei, I will fill you with my crying, O Cheshbon and el alei. Ki al kitzech ve'al kitzirech heidad nafal, for upon your kaitz refers here to the dried figs, which are dried at the end of the summer, v'al kitzirech, and upon your harvest, the Targum here translates bazozin, those who take booty, have fallen. Heidad lafal might also be understood as a cry has come, but the idea that that all of the food of Moab has been taken by these captives. And this idea of the food of Moab, the harvest of Moab being taken captive, is illustrated even further in Psukim Yud Yud Aleph. V'ne'esaf simcha v'gil min ha-karmel. Happiness and rejoicing is gathered, taken away from the Carmel. Uvakramim lo yirunan v'lo yiro'ah. And in the vineyards they will not sing, nor will they call out. Yain berik by kavim lo yidroch adorech. The wine in the wine presses, the wine presser will not press upon. In other words, they will not press out the grapes. Heidad heishbati. I have ended the calling of Heidad. Here Heidad is a happy cry, the cry of rejoicing upon the wine pressing, which is ended. In contrast to the Heidad, which is in Pasuk Tet, there Heidad refers to the crying of rejoicing of the thieves, of the booty takers, the attackers who are rejoicing. So that Heidad will be there, the Heidad of the booty takers and thieves. In contrast, the Heidad of the wine pressers will be gone. The prophet is not necessarily happy about the destruction of Moab. He sees it perhaps as a comeuppance, but he's not rejoicing about his enemy's downfall. Binfol oivecha al tismach, as Sefer Mishlei says, repeated in Pirkei Avot. Pasuk Yud Aleph, we see this. Al kein me'ai le Moab kakinor yehemu. Therefore, my innards go out to Moab or sing to Moab like a lyre. Kinor refers presumably to a lyre. V'kirbi l'kir hares. And my insides go out to another city of Moab, the city of Kir Hares. V'haya kinir'ah kinil'ah Moab al habama. When it will appear that Moab is tired out upon its place of worship, the bama. It will enter its sanctuary to pray. It will not be able to pray. The idea that when Moab will find itself in terrible straits, it will try to pray, and for some reason it will not succeed in praying. This prophecy ends in Psukim Yudaled. Excuse me, Yud Gimel Yud Daled, with a divine oracle dealing with the future of Moab. Ze adavar shadiber Hashem el Moab me'az. This is what God says to Moab from long ago. Ve'ata diber Hashem le'mor. So perhaps we should understand Pasuk Yud Gimel as saying, up till now is what God has said upon Moab until now. Now, ve'ata, here is what God is saying about Moab right now. Diber Hashem lemor, b'shalosh shanim kishnei sachir, v'nikla kivod Moab b'chol he'amon harav, u'sha'ar mi'at mizar lo kabir. Excuse me. U'sha'ar mi'at mizar lo kabir. What is the prophecy that God is giving? B'shalosh shanim kishnei sachir, in 3 years, which are similar to the 3 years that a hired man hires himself out for. The idea that hired men hire themselves out for exactly 3 years, and the Radak here comments, Shalosh shanim mitzumtzumot, 3 years exactly, within three precise years. V'nikla kivod Moav, the honor of Moav will be made light, will be made dishonorable. Kal in Tanakh doesn't only mean something that's not heavy, it also means something that's not weighty in the sense of not having a lot of honor to it. V'nikla kivod Moav, the honor of Moav will be made unweighty, will be made light, will be made not too respectful. B'chol he'amon harav, by means of a great mass. U'sha'ar me'at miz'ar lo chabir, and what will remain will be very little, not very much. The idea that Moav here will find its end.
the key of the prophecy here seems to be this idea that Moab will be destroyed, while in contrast, there will be an established kingship in Yerushalayim, which will have the characteristics the prophet sees as essential to a stable monarchy. Shofet v'doresh mishpat u'mihir tzedek. I go back to Pasukei. A judge who seeks out justice and is efficient in dispensing justice. The idea that justice requires efficiency and not only the principle of justice. This is contrasted with the destruction which depends upon Moab. Moab, which has not helped out the Judeans in the course of their struggles with Assyria. Moab, which has been a slavish, loyal vassal to Assyria because of its own internal troubles, which now seems to perhaps not have been destroyed, seems not to have been destroyed in 705-701. Moab, the prophet says, will be destroyed as it once was. Moab will suffer. In the contrast, V'huchan b'chesed kisei v'yashav alav be'emet be'ohel David. In contrast, Pasukei, the throne will be established by means of covenantal kindness. He, the king of Judah, perhaps a future Mashiach, will sit upon it in truth in the tent of David. Shofet v'doresh mishpat u'mihir tzedek, a judge who demands justice and is efficient in dispensing justice.